Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
In today's volatile political climate, it's easy to get worked up over hot-button issues, polarising candidates, or the state of our government. But today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah encourages us to set our minds on eternity rather than the temporary kingdoms of this world. From Handwriting on the Wall, here's David to introduce the conclusion of his message, The End of World Government.
Hey, I want to thank you for joining us for the Friday edition of Turning Point. Before I forget it, this is the day that I tell you to go to church on Sunday. I do that with a smile on my face because I'm, first of all, a pastor, and really it's important for people to go to church. And I hope that you make that a habit. A lot of the statistics that we're hearing from some of the students of church are telling us that people aren't going to church like they used to. The numbers are pretty discouraging. But that has nothing to do with you or me. We go to church. That's what we do. And you need to go to church as well. I want to encourage you this week to get back to church if you haven't been going. Find a place where God's word is taught and Jesus Christ is lifted up, and jump right in and be a part of what God is doing in your community. And then, of course, we'll be on television over the weekend. If we happen to be on when you're supposed to be in church, just DVR it, watch it when you get home. But don't use this program or any other as an excuse for not being in the Lord's house, because there's no substitute for that, I promise you. And I want to encourage you to make it a priority in your life. But right now, this is The End of World Government, Daniel 2, 31 through 49.
I can say that there is no place ever in the Bible where we are mentioned specifically. And someone has suggested perhaps that's because when prophecy is fulfilled, America will not be any longer, which is a frightening thought. Or perhaps America will not be strong enough to be reckoned with as a power. But if we are in prophecy, we are in the aftermath of the Roman Empire, down in the legs somewhere of this beast, down in the feet, mixed in with the aftermath or the afterglow or the tentacles of Rome that still reach out. For we still operate much in a Roman way. We have, for instance, Roman law. And even our popular religion in this country goes back to its Roman roots. Not Christianity, but popular religion. So Rome is very much with us. And we're a part of all that's involved, though we cannot be sure how very directly we are. Now, that's the interpretation. That's as clear as it can be. Daniel says, here's what you saw, king, and here's what it means. You're the head of gold. You're going to be followed by the arms and the breasts of silver, which is the next kingdom. That's Medo-Persia. You're going to be followed by the belly and the thighs of brass or bronze. That's going to be Greece. And you're going to be followed by the legs and the toes and the feet of iron, and that's Rome. And as you go back and look in history, you see it just as clearly as you can. Just as clearly as you can see it, it followed just like that. Now listen, folks. I want you to stop for just a moment and look at the unbelievable, miraculous nature of this prophecy. When Nebuchadnezzar dreamed this dream, Persia was a Babylonian vassal state, a satrapy. When Nebuchadnezzar dreamed this dream, the Greeks were a group of warring tribes, a bunch of marauders out in the desert land. When Nebuchadnezzar dreamed this dream, Rome was a village on the Tiber River. There is no human way he could ever, from his own perspective, have seen what God was going to do as the kingdoms of the Gentiles unfolded in the future. But God gave that vision to him, and Daniel interpreted it. And as we look back and put our Bibles down next to the history book, we can see that it is like history pre-written, because that's exactly what it is. Now, this is the picture of Gentile dominion. This is the picture of the kingdoms of the world. What can we learn from this picture? Let's look at the application of all of this. God's trying to teach us how the Gentile nations rule and what lessons we can learn. A few you don't get anything else that I say, I want you to get these four things. Four lessons about the kingdoms of men, quickly. Number one, we see the delicate foundation of human government. This prophecy teaches us what we already know, and that is that human government stands upon a delicate foundation. Look at the foundation of this colossus. Here is heavy gold and silver and bronze and iron, and it's all supported on a foundation of mud. It's on clay. It's top heavy. It's a picture of the tottering governments of the earth with all of their boasted scientific inventions and civilization, and they are totally unstable. And if you don't have any idea about that, don't listen to me. Go home and read the paper. You cannot keep up with the governments that are cropping up and falling all of the time. Human government is on unstable territory. It's all built on a very unstable foundation. You know what that foundation is? It's humanistic humanity. It's unpredictable. It's unstable. And the picture of this statute is a teaching tool to remind us that human government stands upon a delicate foundation. Number two, it teaches us the deteriorating form of human government. The application of this dream to our day and to history is frightening. The course of Gentile dominion and of our civilization is one of deterioration and devolution and decay. Now, we see this through a number of avenues. Number one, notice it first of all in terms of the position of the kingdoms. Gold is at the top and mud is at the bottom. It is a downward direction in which the kingdoms move. The descending scale of value of the four metals suggests to us that the degeneration of the human race throughout the ages is prevalent. Each kingdom is built on the ruins of the one before. And verse 39 says it this way, after thee shall arise another kingdom, what? Inferior to thee. And the word inferior literally means downward from thee. After thee, O Nebuchadnezzar, another kingdom shall come to take your place, and it will be better than yours? No, it will be worse. The position is one of gold, silver, bronze, iron, mud. You know where we are, don't you? We're down there in the mud, brothers and sisters. I tell you what this does, if it doesn't do anything else, it strikes the final blow to the evolutionist. In reality, the evolutionists have this image standing on its head. We're not getting better and better. Timothy says, in the last days, evil men shall what? Wax worse and worse. We're getting worse and worse and worse. We're not getting better. This picture is a picture of the deteriorating form of human government. We see it in the position of the kingdoms. Notice, secondly, we see it in the preciousness of the metals. Gold is more valuable than silver. Silver is more valuable than bronze. Bronze is more valuable than iron. Iron is more valuable than mud. I found out that even in the mass of these metals, we see deterioration. The specific gravity of gold is 19.3. Of silver is 10.5. Of bronze is 8.5. Of iron is 7.6. And of clay is 1.9. What a striking proof of how soon everything human gets off the gold standard. Have you noticed that? Everything human gets off the gold standard. It's also seen not only in the position of the kingdoms and in the preciousness of the metals, but it is also seen in the power of the governments. Babylon was autocratic. Nebuchadnezzar was the one about whom we read in chapter 5 and verse 18, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive. Who was in charge in Babylon? Nobody in Babylon was in doubt. Nebuchadnezzar was an autocrat, and he ruled with an iron hand. He was the monarch of Babylon. And he was followed by the Medes and the Persians, and that was an oligarchic form of government, a government of the few. If you read Daniel 6, you know that when Daniel was elevated to that kingdom, he was put into a charge of a group of a few men who ruled the whole kingdom. And if you want to see that in operation, when the Medo-Persian king wanted to get Daniel out of the sentence that he had decreed against him because he bowed down before the God of heaven, you know what happened? He said, hey, I can't do anything about it. Here was the king, but because he had made a decree, his hands were tied. Can you think of Nebuchadnezzar being in that spot? No way. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive. But we're down a step now. We're in the oligarchic form of government. And then we move from there to the Grecian form of government, which was aristocratic. This was government by the nobility. Any great warrior who earned his spurs was lifted to aristocracy, and so it was a different and lower form of government. Then we come to the Roman form, which was nothing more nor less than imperialistic government. It was military and ruthless and like Nazi Germany. So what's going on here is that constitutional unity is deteriorating until it fades into democratic license and communistic killings and socialistic suicide. In God's mind now, and don't throw anything till I explain this, in God's mind, democracy is not God's kind of government. Now hear me, I'm the most patriotic American in this place. I wave the flag and sing the songs like everybody else because I wouldn't want to be anyplace else. But you find out very quickly what kind of government God wants when you see him set up his own. And it isn't democracy. It's monarchy in the sense that it's a theocracy. You see, the reason we have democracy is because we can't have monarchy, because if you don't have righteous rule, monarchy won't work. So we have to have democracy so that we can have some sort of check and balance, because that's what we came out of. And we found out that didn't work. I read this. It's just almost unbelievable. I want to just read it to you. This was written nearly 200 years ago when the 13 colonies were still a part of Great Britain. About the fall of the Athenian Republic over 2,000 years earlier. Now listen, a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves money from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most money from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's great civilizations has been 200 years. These nations have progressed through the following sequence. Now listen, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, and from dependency back to bondage. Where are we, folks? We are on the downward cycle. Because you see, what we are is we're a combination of iron and clay. Iron being authority and clay being the people. And what does the scripture say about those two things? They don't mix. Isn't that what this whole thing is about in our country? Because the iron and the clay can't get along. And we're down at the bottom, you see. We're at the bottom. Because we have the form of government, which is monarchy, and then oligarchy, and then down and down, and we're down here. That's surprising, isn't it? Because what we're learning is that we have a deteriorating form of government. Now let me share with you the third lesson. We have a disintegrating family of human government. Notice verse 42. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong, partly broken. Here is a prophecy of the breaking up of world governments. In the stream of humanity, there are two conflicting elements, the iron will of authority, but the clay-like voice of the people. As we near the end of the age, this struggle will get greater and greater. The pulling apart of the nations. You start with one head, then you end up with two arms. And then you're down into the two legs, and then what? You're down into the 10 toes. All you have to do is look out over this world and you see we're not becoming more cohesive. We're disintegrating. We're falling apart. This human government which we are under during these days is disintegrating in front of us. And all attempts at getting together as other governments will fail. This is one thing I believe that's going to prepare the way for the Antichrist. Then one last thing, and this is the most frightening of all. We have the delicate foundation of human government and the deteriorating form of human government and the disintegrating family of human government followed by the developing force of human government. Notice as you look down the image, gold is followed by silver, which is a little stronger, followed by bronze, which is a little stronger, followed by iron, which is the strongest of all. Isn't it an overwhelming thought to think that as we degenerate in morality, we increase in force? That's the way human governments have been. While they are falling apart in terms of the sovereign unity of the government and the ability to righteous rule, the kingdoms get stronger and stronger and stronger, and it is a devastating combination to have greater force and weaker government. Now, a delicate foundation and a deteriorating form and a disintegrating family and a developing force of human government is soberly reminding us that the days of man's rule are just about over. We are living on the threshold of the end of the age. The stone not cut with hands is mentioned to us in verse 34. Thou sawest until a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Then were the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away. What's that? That is the destruction of the world government, and we don't have to look far to find out who that is. No place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and what? Filled the whole earth. Who is the stone? It is none other than the Lord Jesus coming in all of his glory. And when he comes, he will destroy all world governments and obliterate them. And he will set up his own government. And like a mountain, he will fill the whole earth. And he shall rule forever and forever. And when I read this prophecy, I wonder, is there any good news? I mean, should I just go home and get depressed? No, you see, what this is saying to us is that God's clock is winding down, and you and I may yet live to see the return of the Lord Jesus for his own. I read this. Some old man writing about this passage, these few lines poetically. Listen, look for the waymarks as you journey on. Look for the waymarks passing one by one, down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Where are we standing? Look the waymarks o'er, down in the feet of iron and clay, weak and divided, soon to pass away. What will the next great glorious drama be? Christ and his coming and eternity. What this says to us is not be depressed, but look up. The King is coming. It won't be long before he will come and set up his kingdom in this world. Before that happens, we're going to be raptured out of here to be with him. And when he comes in glory, we will be with him. But what about now? What about tomorrow morning? What about tonight? Well, I've thought about that a lot. What does this say to us now? I want to be so careful that you don't misunderstand these closing remarks. As I've pondered this and as I've thought about it, you know what it says to me? It says that though I want to do everything I can to prop up whatever government's left for a little more time to preach the gospel, that if I have anything that I can do with the energy and the time and the breath and the blood of this body, I want to give it to that which is going to be eternal. I can't think of anything worse than pouring one's whole life into the tottering, collapsing government of this world and to look at the end of life at having spent one's whole existence in just propping up the government for a few more months, a few more years. There are only two things eternal that I know about that God's going to take out of this world with him. One is the book, the Word of God, so I better put my time in there. And the other is people. Doesn't this just make your priorities come right to the top? Now, I'm not saying don't get involved in politics, don't get involved in government. God knows if we withdraw ourselves, it'll be all over tomorrow. But it also says that we've got to be careful that we don't lose our perspective. And our perspective is supposed to be eternal. An eternal perspective will tell us that our priorities have to be where God puts his. Because he says this whole world of human government isn't going to last. And it may be breathing its last breath. So while we're doing everything we can to prop up the government, men and women, let's don't forget that we have an eternal assignment. So I want to ask you how you're doing with that. We're involved in an eternal ministry in the lives of people. And while we have time, it may not be long, God knows we ought to be doing it. Amen?
Amen. Amen. You know, after the weekend, when we come back to the book of Daniel on Monday, we're going to meet Jesus Christ in the book of Daniel. We're going to see how Christ comes to rule the world and interrupts all of this sort of negative information that we're getting out of Daniel's prophecy. If you don't believe that, you can find him in the Old Testament. You don't want to miss Monday, because Monday's message is entitled, When Christ Rules the World. Once again, have a wonderful weekend, friends. I'm David Jeremiah. My joy to be with you, and I look forward to seeing you right here on Monday.
The message you just heard came to you from the Shadow Mountain Community Church and Dr. David Jeremiah, the senior pastor. We'd love to learn how Turning Point is touching your life, so please write us at Turning Point, P.O. Box 3838, San Diego, California, 92163. Visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. Ask for your copy of David's informative companion book for this series on the secrets from the prophecies of Daniel, The Handwriting on the Wall. It's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the English Standard Version and New International Version, as well as in standard or large print in the New King James, all available in your choice of handsome cover options. Go to davidjeremiah.org/radio for details. Join us Monday as we continue the series, The Handwriting on the Wall, here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.